My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting, the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet, chasing bear. On this episode of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast, I'm sitting with Sean Curran and Evan Husenfield at the Archery Trade Association show, and we're talking about the organization that they're a part of called Sportsman's Alliance. I am really just starting to learn about the Sportsman's Alliance, but they are the organization that is defending the rights of hunters and trappers, houndsmen. These guys are in the business of keeping things alive and swinging towards the favor of conservation-minded sportsmen and sport hunting. You're going to learn a ton on this podcast, and I encourage you to really listen to the whole thing, because the mentality that we're fighting against in the whole of hunting is people thinking that this fight is not theirs because their specific type of hunting isn't under threat today. And what we've got to graft into the hunting culture from the way we train our kids in every state, in every place, is that to be a hunter in 2019 is to be a defender and is to be a representative of the best that hunters have to offer. We've got to be educated, we've got to be articulate, and most of all, we've got to be who we say we are, which is ethical, conservation-based hunters who truly love and care about wildlife and wild places. I think you'll catch some of the enthusiasm in Sean and Evan as they lay out what the Sportsman's Alliance is and how that we can get involved. I am now a member of the Sportsman's Alliance and plan on being a member from here on out. You're gonna enjoy this podcast and you're gonna learn a ton. Welcome to the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. We are at the ATA show in Louisville, Kentucky, and I've got with me Sean Curran and Evan.
Yes, sir.
What's your last name, Evan?
Husenfield.
I'm glad you pronounced that, not me. Yeah. And, hey, these guys are with the Sportsman's Alliance. And so what we're going to do in this podcast is I'm going to hear from these guys. I want to hear about the mission of Sportsman's Alliance, what you guys are doing. And because, as everybody that listens to the podcast knows, a passion of ours at Bear Hunting Magazine is preservation of bear hunting, of hunting in general. But, I mean, we know because bear hunting is the low-hanging fruit of North American hunting right now, and probably always has been the low-hanging fruit. I mean, it's a pretty serious situation. Yeah. And it's a bigger situation than just, oh, we might lose some parts of bear hunting. And that's really what I want to focus on you guys tonight, because, or not tonight, this morning. Because to me, the message that we're trying to do is recruit people that don't care about bear hunting, that aren't bear hunters, that don't care about mountain lion hunting with hounds, to get involved because they support hunting and the future of hunting. To me, that's the most critical aspect of everything that we're doing. I don't care if you don't like hounds or do like them. I don't care if you will ever bear hunt over bait or not bear hunt over bait. If you want to see hunting in general continue the way it has, conservation-based hunting, then we need to get more people involved. So that's why I reached out to Sean and said, man, I'd love to do a podcast with you guys, because you guys are really on the front line of this. So yeah, whichever one of you could give our people an introduction to Sportsman's Alliance, what you guys are doing.
Yep.
And I may be getting ahead of myself. I also want to hear a little bit personally about you guys. Let's start there.
Yep.
Just introduce yourself, Sean.
Sure.
Just give me a little history of your history with Sportsman's Alliance.
Yep.
And then we'll get into, after we get introductions from you guys, we'll go into what y'all are doing.
Perfect. Yeah. Sean Curran, Vice President of Membership and Corporate Partnerships here for the Sportsman's Alliance. And been here, 5 years. came to find out about the Sportsman's Alliance just roundabout way years ago, just as an average Joe hunter, right? Read an article in the newspaper and found this organization and looked them up, saw the mission, and I was like, man, this is a group I need to support. A member of a bunch of different other organizations. Why am I not a member of this organization? Because what they're doing is they're looking out for hunting, fishing, trapping as a whole.
Yeah.
And, you know, became a member. A few years later, just had the opportunity to come and work for the organization. So
what were you doing before that, Sean?
You know, my background is in sales and sales management.
Okay.
So wasn't even in the industry.
Where were you originally from?
Ohio.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Grew up in Northeast Ohio.
Okay.
Moved to Central Ohio about, you know, late 90s or so.
Okay.
But I just been involved in the outdoors my entire life.
Yeah.
My grandpa, you know, from a young age, you know, had me out there fishing, camping. When I was old enough to hunt, you know, just got out there and started getting after it. So
yeah,
obviously something I'm passionate about, something I love doing.
Yeah.
And to work for an organization that's looking out for the whole, you know, it's a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
So, Evan, so tell us your position with Sportsman Alliance and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm president and CEO of the organization now, and I have been for the last 3 years. Prior to that, I ran our government affairs shop and
you know,
focused on our core mission issues-based work.
Okay.
I've been with the organization since 2007, so entering, 13 years now, I suppose, of working on these kinds of issues all across the country. Wow. Personally, for me, you know, I didn't come from a hunting background. I didn't come from a hunting household until later in life. I didn't start hunting until my father moved back to Minnesota while I was in college, and he picked it up with some of his friends, and from there got me involved. As you know, I'd come up and visit and see him at the holidays, and we'd go out pheasant hunting and do all that kind of fun stuff. And from there, the passion just grew, and it didn't take long to dive in fully and catch the sickness, as they say. So it's been fun. It's been a good ride. It's one of those things that you wake up every day and you get to do what you love to do.
Yeah.
You know, you can't complain about that.
You know, I have a lot of respect for you guys, because every day you wake up and you go to work and you're involved in really mitigating conflict almost in some way. I mean, like, and that's maybe the wrong way to say it, but just in terms of you're fighting for the rights of sportsmen in, and that sometimes, it seems stressful to me.
Oh, it's very stressful. You know, yeah. I didn't have any gray hairs 5 years ago, but look at me now. No, I've been graying for a long time, but it is stressful because it's doing what we do. We see so many different issues that are going on out there, you know, in all the different states, you know, and hunters in general, you know, we're kind of isolated, right? We just want to go out and hunt or duck hunt or do our thing. We don't really like to think about all the problems that we have facing our community.
Yeah.
And, you know, so whether it's, you know, attacks on bear hunting in Maine, or whether it's mountain lions, you know, in one of the western states, you know, how do you, you know, if you're the deer hunter in the Midwest, you know, why do you care about that? Why does that even matter?
Right.
I'm not going to go bear hunting. I don't really care. That's not my battle to fight. Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, the strategies that have been used over the years by, you know, the animal rights groups, it's a death by a thousand cuts type strategy, right?
Yeah.
They just slice away little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, kind of going after the low-hanging fruit types of things.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the fringe things. Maybe they're not going after deer hunting today. Maybe they're just going after hunting with hounds or hunting over bait or something like that.
Yeah.
But those are the slices. Those are the things they just like to whittle away at little by little.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, it's an attack on hunting, right? It's not an attack on hunting with hounds. We need to look at it as, hey, this is an attack against us, against our community.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of that too, right?
Yeah.
You know, what it's going to do for conservation funding down the road as licenses continue to drop, as seasons get taken away or opportunities get taken away. You know, these things don't happen in a vacuum, and they've got long-term you know, consequences, not only for hunting, but just for wildlife conservation in general.
Yeah. What I feel like is that, and this idea in my mind is just starting to formulate, because I would have traditionally, before I was in outdoor media, was a passionate hunter, and these things didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like they're not going to take away bear hunting in Arkansas. We're not a referendum state. You know, this just isn't going to happen to us. I mean, that's the mentality of pretty much everybody.
Yes.
And let me take you out of Arkansas and then put you into Michigan. I've done some work with Michigan Bear Hunters Association,
yep,
and the Upper UP Houndsman Association. And when I was with those guys, I was making a film for them, and I recognized something inside of the hunting culture, inside the way they dealt with their kids, inside the way that they talked, inside the way that they thought, is that they have built into the hunting culture, the hound hunting culture specifically there, this idea that to be a hound hunter, to be a bear hunter, is to fight for our rights to continue to do this,
yeah,
and to clean up our own act.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's embedded in that culture.
That's good.
And I look back in Arkansas, and to be a hunter doesn't mean that you're a defender. And maybe that's the phrase I'll use.
Yeah.
What we've got to do is figure out a way to embed in the broader hunting culture this idea, and it's happening, but to be a hunter today in 2019 means that you're also a defender of what we're doing. And so, to me, the action steps of that are, you know, number one, we can't be Pharisees. We can't say one thing and do another. We can't talk about ethical hunting and preservation of resource and conservation and utilization of wildlife resources. We can't preach all this good stuff and then not do it when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but so there's this personal aspect to me of we've got to be what we say we are, you know? But then we also have to take action steps, like, and one of the main ways people can do it is like becoming a member,
yeah,
of organizations that need our money to go and fight all these things in different states that we'll never touch. I may never go to Maine and stand before a crowd of people and give a speech on why bear hunting matters. But your organization is, you know, you have your methods of influencing all these different pieces across the country.
Yep.
And so I guess that's what I'm getting at is it's almost like we need to have this thing inside of all of us, almost like a tax on hunters. You need to be a member of three or four organizations,
right,
every year that you're devoted to, dedicated to, and there's still this mass of people that just don't do that.
Yep. I like to tell people, I think you should be a member of at least three groups, right? Protect your method, protect your pursuit, and protect your passion. Right?
Oh, that's good.
If you're a bow hunter, find a bow hunting group,
yeah,
that, you know, is working in that realm, right? If you're pursuing jackalopes, you know, join the National Jackalope Association. And then, you know, protect your passion.
Right now.
That's, yeah, right. They're booming.
I just saw a new world record here the other day.
Yeah.
But protect your passion. That's kind of one of the you know, slogans,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
we use, you know, because our passion is hunting in the outdoors.
Will you say that again?
Yes.
What you said, three things.
Yep. Protect your method, protect your pursuit, and protect your passion.
There we go.
Right?
That's good.
And
I like
protect
that.
Your passion, that's join the Sportsman's Alliance. It's when you buy your hunting license, that's when you renew your membership. Almost,
yeah,
ingrain that in, like, yeah, every year. Hey, I'm going to get my license. I got to get my deer tag. I'm going to buy my federal duck stamp. You know, I need to get my bear tag. Oh, I need to get my Sportsman's Alliance membership,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Right? Need to get all those things. Because,
yeah,
if we're not protecting those things, they're not going to be there, you know,
right
down the road.
It's such a, you know, in today's world, there's so many things that are reaching out to grab our $25 a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, what we've got to do as hunters is just see where the mandatory, I mean, this isn't a frivolous thing. This is a serious thing. And I mean, to me, that's where the differentiation is. Like, people are automatically turned off. I know this because I'm in the business of selling $25 subscriptions to,
yes,
a magazine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super difficult.
It's hard.
I mean, even people that want to get a subscription to Bearhunting Magazine, that pick it up and go, man, this is awesome. This is good quality content. This is a thick paper, high gloss magazine.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a member or a subscriber. And they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, and it's... you know, I think the thing is as we continue to just spread the word, eventually, like my kids,
yeah,
like they're gonna know you know, like the Michigan kids that I saw. To be a hunter is to be a defender.
Yeah.
And to be a defender means you take action steps.
Yeah.
To do stuff and prioritize these things inside of your life, you know.
Yep.
But
and that's it. It takes time to change that culture, that thought process. But you're right on. I mean, the days of just, you know, buying our licenses, being enough, are right. long gone. You know,
yeah.
they passed
yeah.
us years ago. We have got to yeah. do more. And hunters collectively have always stepped up and done that. But we can't wait until there's an immediate threat, right?
We've got to
be
late.
We've got to be way more proactive because
yeah.
we see immediate threats all the time. You know, Evan and his team on the government affairs side, I mean, they're monitoring legislation and bills, and you know, we're seeing things that most people aren't seeing.
Yes.
And sometimes, a lot of times, those threats will just they go away or they don't get introduced, but they're always out there. I mean,
yeah.
the groups that we continually go up against, I mean, they exist to take away hunting. You know,
yeah.
that's one of their main goals.
Yeah.
You know, they do other things as well too, but you know, one of their main goals, these folks exist, and their passion.
That's what they wake up in the morning thinking about.
Is because, yeah, they think hunting is bad or evil or what have you. They have a different ideology
yeah.
of these things, and they want to see it stopped.
Yeah.
And they're just as passionate about doing that as we are about hunting and about getting out into the outdoors. So we have to kind of look at it that way and understand it. That,
yeah.
You know, we've got to match that. We've got to exceed it because
yeah.
you know, these guys, they have deep, deep pockets.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so well funded. And
well, you know, when you think about it, they have such a broader pool of resource than we do. I mean,
yeah.
we're the 10% of the country, or 13%, or
yeah.
less.
It's less.
Is it less?
Yeah.
How many hunters? What's the percentage of U.S. people that are licensed buying hunters?
Roughly 4 or 5%.
Oh, is that
of
right?
The U.S. population.
Wow. What? Where was I getting 10%? Is that an old number? Or
well,
is that...
it could be. You know, if you add in, you know, fishing and trapping and some of the other different things, it, you know, it increases that.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the way that they pull those numbers, it's largely based on licensed buyers.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily equate to hunters, right? There's
okay.
there's a natural churn in the hunting license buyer data that shows that, you know, the average guy doesn't hunt every single year. He might hunt, you know, 2 out of 5 years or 3 out of 5 years. And so there's a inherent
okay.
number
so
of people out there.
Maybe
who are
10%
hunters.
Of people have bought licenses in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think if you
understood.
Said there's 10% of people probably consider themselves hunters, 10% aren't buying licenses, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the latest numbers from the Fish and Wildlife Service and those folks are it's like 11.5-12 million hunters annually right now.
So what we're trying to do is rally this 10, let's just say 10% consider themselves hunters. We're trying to rally this 10% to fight against people that basically have a lot easier sell to the 90%. Correct me if I'm kind of just thinking out loud here, but it's like, I mean, it's a pretty easy sell to tell somebody with no rural background, no hunting background, lives in an urban place to tell them, hey, it's bad that these rednecks are out there treeing bears with dogs and killing them.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is an easy sell.
Yeah, and I think what you look at, if you want to visualize this in your mind, you're talking about, there, you know, we're the 10% on the left side, and there's 10% on the right side that's vehement animal rights, anti-hunting group. And there's 80% of us that are in the middle,
okay.
right? There's 80% of
there
people in the country who are just, they're not animal rights advocates.
They could go either way.
Yep. They're soccer moms. They're guys, they're blue-collar guys going to work, but they're not hunters.
Yeah.
Those folks are susceptible to the emotional messaging that the other side puts out.
Yes.
You know, they put out these videos, they put out these TV commercials, especially when you get into one of these ballot initiatives like you mentioned earlier. You know, they put out very, very emotional content that strikes at the heart of the person who doesn't have a connection to hunting,
right.
doesn't necessarily have a connection to even rural life or agriculture where your food comes from.
Right.
You know, and so all of a sudden you're showing them these videos that to the average person might be shocking. Or they're being told they're shocking, right? You know, the other side's telling them this is the most inhumane
and totally
cruel
taken
way
out of context.
It. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's, you know, you get back to the, you asked the question earlier, if it's a stressful job, if it's a challenging job. It is, because we have to win every time, right? We have to win 10 times out of 10 just to keep what we have.
Right.
The other side wins 1 out of 10 of the issues they push. They're moving the ball down the field. yeah. every single year. They're cutting yeah. away at the edges.
Yeah.
And so you look at things like Sean mentioned earlier, deer hunting. Deer hunting's not going away in 2019.
Yeah.
But bear hunting with hounds could be. Maybe
right.
trapping. Maybe some of these other perceived yeah. fringe activities
yes.
that the animal rights groups like to point to as the most cruel and inhumane methods, the most cruel and inhumane ways of hunting animals.
Yeah.
Those are the things that are truly at the forefront of the threats today.
And so that's why we've got to be on our A game. I mean, that's what we're saying with the broader hunting community.
Well, and you see it. You hit the nail on the head, right? Michigan bear hunters are a great example of this. Wisconsin bear hunters are a great
yes.
example of this. You've got these fine organizations out there who have instilled a culture and a belief in their membership that this is the right thing to do. We
yeah.
have to be the activists. We have to be the guys who aren't just content to go
yeah.
out and do our own thing, to run our dogs, to climb in our tree stands, you know, to go run our trap lines, whatever we're going to do. We can't just do that. We've got to do
yeah.
this other side first to ensure that that's still there.
Yeah,
and those groups have done a fantastic job. At the same time, there's a lack of that in a number of states, right? You
yeah.
lack that same passion in other states, and it's interesting. It'd be an interesting case study to figure out how the heck did it end up that Michigan and Wisconsin and some of these other states have these great strong.
Well, I think it's because they've had to fight. You
yeah.
know, I mean, like I said in Arkansas, is quite true. We're not a referendum state.
Yep.
And by that, you guys would know much more about that than me, but my understanding of a referendum state in Michigan, they can put anything on the ballot basically that the populace can get enough signatures to say. So all the people in Detroit, all
yep.
the urban people in Detroit can say, we don't like bear hunting with hounds. We're going to get 100,000 signatures that says, let's put banning hound hunting on a ballot. And so they can do that
The general public gets to vote then. It's just up.
Right.
It's
and
on
that's,
the
what type of government is that? What type of state is that? What would that be called?
Well, it gives the people the opportunity to petition the government.
Well, because like in Arkansas, our wildlife regulations are not run by referendum. I was thinking maybe there was a...
There are similarities, especially, and every state's a little bit different, right? So this is a really hard conversation to have.
Okay,
but
I understand.
Broadly speaking...
I thought it was like black and white.
Well, it's not... Well, I mean... It is and it isn't, right? So, like, Michigan's a little bit different than some states. They have some ability to shield things from referendums or from
okay.
ballot initiatives.
Okay.
You know, in a lot of states, like, you look at decisions made by, like, the Wildlife Resource Agency or the commissions. Those are not subject to referendum, where a decision by the legislature
okay, like
would
a,
be.
Like a decision about how many bears to take
rules
out of a region.
Rules and regulations made by the agency
okay.
versus
Understood.
Laws passed by the legislature. So the legislature says, hey, the bear hunting season, we're going to allow bear hunting with hounds. Well, the agency then comes in and writes rules and regulations and puts the specifics, details
Understood.
Into that. So
Understood.
When the season is, how many bears can be taken, what unit is open, what units are closed,
okay.
those kinds of things. Those types of decisions typically aren't subject to referendum.
Okay.
But, you know, back to the broader point of the referendum states or ballot issue states versus non, I mean, that's where you saw these attacks in 2014 in Maine and Michigan.
Yeah, so Maine is a referendum state.
Yep, absolutely. And,
yeah.
and the scary thing about this is that it's not that expensive to get an issue qualified.
Yeah.
You're talking about these groups that have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank waiting for their opportunity. You know, in Maine, it was $100,000, $150,000. You can pay signature gatherers to qualify an issue.
Wow.
Now, Maine's made some changes in recent years since the last ballot issue we fought up there to make
yeah.
those a little bit tougher.
And so we
to
won
qualify.
In 2014.
Yeah, we won in 2004 and 2014.
Yeah.
It's been fought twice. And we were outspent in that campaign.
Just barely won. Is that
no,
right?
No, we won going away. We won 10%. We were 56-44
okay.
or 40,
okay.
54-46,
and
I can't
that was
remember.
In 14.
In 14, yeah.
To me, from my side of it, knowing a lot of outfitters in Maine and dealing with these people, to me it just seems like David versus Goliath.
Oh, it is.
I mean, because these guys are just scratching a living their passion.
Yep.
These bear hunt. I mean, typically hunters aren't the wealthy guys.
No, if you talk to the guides up there, we broke them pretty good on that campaign. I mean, those guys gave everything they had.
They
and,
did.
And it took a year and a half
yeah.
of grassroots fundraising to get there. Where
yeah.
you look at. You know, that campaign on the other side was being led by the Humane Society of the United States, a multi-hundred-million-dollar organization. They got $150, $200 million annual budget. And wow. So they were writing checks from Washington, D.C. and sending them up to Maine at $100,000 here, $250,000 there, $500,000 there. Out of the $2.7 million that animal rights campaign raised, $2.6 million came directly from HSUS in Washington, D.C.
So you're saying $100,000 of it was actually raised somehow in-state by people who cared?
In-state and from other organizations,
so that,
yeah.
What you're saying is that the people in Maine really don't care about that.
No, it wasn't a big issue for the locals. It was brought in from the outsiders. Inversely, the pro bear hunting campaign that we helped run up there, we raised about $2.3 million. Mm. You know, so we were outspent by nearly $500,000 on television, which is an incredibly influential way
right.
to change the way that the soccer yeah. moms in Portland are going to view those
yeah.
issues.
Yeah.
And that $2.3
million. I didn't even know they played soccer in Portland. Are you sure?
Well, they do a lot of stuff up there. But to raise that $2.3 million, it took a year and a half of backbreaking work by the guides, by the sportsmen in the state, by people out of the state. You know, there were a lot of bear hunting organizations.
From what I saw, I mean, it was almost like these guys were having, like, bake sales.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we did a thing with Bear Hunting Magazine where an outfitter called and wanted an ad to raffle off a hunt. I mean, it was like grassroots.
That's how you have to structure it, because you're not going to get there. There's nobody in our community who's going to come in and write a $500,000 check.
Yeah.
So you're getting there at $50 here. You might get a couple $5,000 contribution. I mean, it truly is grassroots, and it wasn't just Mainers that helped on this thing.
Right.
You got guys from Vermont, the Vermont Bear guys. You know,
yeah,
the
yeah.
guys in
I
New
know
Hampshire.
Michigan Bear Hunters contributed
yep.
some money. Yeah,
that whole community really stepped in and helped with that campaign because
yeah.
To what we were talking about earlier, you know, those organizations, they've got it ingrained in their culture that,
yes.
hey, an attack on bear hunting in Maine, that's an attack on bear hunting.
Absolutely.
You know, in our state as well, too. So
absolutely.
It pulled everybody together, and yeah. that's what we have to do to continue to fight and win those things.
Yeah. You know, this may be jumping a little bit outside, but just this thought that I had somebody tell me when I first got involved with Bear Hunting Magazine, that he said, any legal method of hunting in this day and age is something that people need to support.
Yeah.
You know, and going back to this concept, and I think it's the biggest thing that we fight, is that these fringe things, they're fringe because not a lot of people are involved in them. Less numbers of people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so focused on just what they're interested in.
Yeah.
And so this idea that we've got to... Well, I've lost my train of thought. We've got to ingrain into people that it's bigger than just what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's hunters in general. I'm just painting with a broad brush here, right? We're all kind of selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, I want my own time out there. Yeah, I want to go do my own thing. And that's fine. That's important. But we also have to get beyond that and start thinking beyond ourselves and start looking at the real big picture of what's going on out there.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to do. That's something yeah. that, you know, it's going to take time. It's going to take, you know, talking to folks and growing the grassroots to change that.
But if anything, I mean, the bear hunting community should be the first ones to wake up to this, right? Because of the number
yes.
of threats we've seen, the number of direct attacks we've seen. You know, you go back, you look at just the last decade, right? Forget the 2004 ballot initiatives and that kind of thing. You know, you lost bear hunting with hounds in California in 2011 or 12. You know, you had yeah. the attacks in Maine and Michigan in 14. You've seen the bear season in Florida be attacked. You've
yeah.
seen the bear season in Kentucky be attacked.
Yeah.
And now, just recently here, you had the governor of New Jersey shut down all public land bear hunting.
Yes.
You know, and so you look at these things, and if you're a hunter in other states who may or may not hunt bears, may or may not care about hunting bears or even running dogs. Well, look at the precedent of what's being done here. You've got animal rights groups coming into these ballot issue states, dropping millions of dollars to influence an election to try to push their agenda. That's not just subject to bear hunting. That could be anything. That could be
yeah.
any subject. So once bear hunting is done, then it's next. What's trapping? Is it? Who knows what it is, right? It could be
yeah.
it could be baiting. It could be anything. And then you look at the governor of New Jersey doing this kind of thing. You've got a politician making promises to animal rights groups that he's going to shut down the hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
again, that's something that can transfer easily to other states. I could see that happening in California. Yeah. You could see it happening in a number of states.
Yeah.
So these threats are there. They might not be in your passion right now. They might be outside your passion. And maybe right. for your listenership, it's this, they understand because it is bear hunting, right?
Yeah.
But for the average sportsman, that's the greatest struggle is how do you get a guy in you know a duck hunter in California to care about a bear hunting issue in New Jersey?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the challenge.
Yeah. 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 Well, that is the challenge. You guys, give us some like concrete, and we've kind of alluded to it, but give us some concrete examples of stuff that you guys have been involved in. I heard you say one time that you Sportsman's Alliance wins a certain percentage of things that they get involved in.
Yeah.
Just kind of give just a rundown of like stuff that you guys are actually doing.
Yeah, that stat or that number, you know, we win 95% of the issues that we get involved in. You
okay.
know? But we have to pick and choose often what issues we get involved in because
yeah.
it's funding, right?
Yeah.
We don't have unlimited resources.
You're not gonna waste your time on something that you can't win.
Right.
We have to be
involved in I won't say the most important things, you know, because they're all important.
It is kind of triage, isn't it?
It is, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you know, this last year, for example, right? You know, New Jersey black bears. You know, we're involved with that. Yellowstone grizzly bear delisting.
Yes.
That's a big one. We're
yeah.
involved with that. You know, those are the big issues that we jump into, and you know, as a consequence, it takes a lot of funding to get involved in those things. You know, especially when you're talking about fighting things through the court system.
Which, oh man.
Which is a whole other area. You know, we've been involved yeah. in, you know, Western Great Lakes wolves. For 12 years now,
okay.
in and out of the courts, you know.
Okay.
You know, our organization has spent over $750,000, you know, fighting that case, and we still have wolves, you know, in those states that are
yeah.
not delisted,
yeah.
you know, and so grizzly bears is going to be a similar situation. That's going to take years and years of in and out of the courts. You know, the science is there. I mean, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service themselves are the ones who recommended delisting.
Right.
Let's turn them back over to the states. And the
right.
states can put them in their management plan.
Right.
You know, that's how we manage wildlife here in North America, right?
Right.
But the other side doesn't see it that way. So they use the court system to tie those things up, to delay delistings. And they use it oftentimes as fundraising mechanisms.
Yeah.
I mean, the social media sites of a lot of those groups that we encounter, you know, as soon as that that delisting was, you know, recommended in 2017, you know, we're checking their sites and seeing what they're doing. They're fundraising. I mean, they're fundraising machines.
Yeah.
And they're targeting, you know, that 80%, that general public.
Yeah.
And they're using a lot of the emotionally, you know, strong imagery, you know, and a lot of misinformation too.
Yeah.
To get people to donate, you know, that $10 a month to help, you know, this,
yeah.
that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, there's no shortage of those types of issues.
Let me ask you a question that is a personal question
yeah.
that I kind of wrestle with all the time. What does the outdoor media, like people like me, YouTube channel, Bear Hunting Magazine, social media stuff,
yeah.
what do we need to be doing to further this cause? And let me give you a little context for this. Sometimes I run into people, bear hunters specifically, that I can tell they think that I should almost just like shut up about promoting bear hunting. Almost like, Clay, you're going on a hound hunt and showing the world that we chase bears with hounds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'd be better if you just didn't even do that. Like isolationist. Basically,
yeah.
we've been okay for all these years. Don't tell anybody what we're doing, and we'll just be able to preserve what
okay.
we've got. The, and you know, I think about that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm in the, this is my business, so I have some incentive. I mean, if I'm just being honest, I have incentive to feed my family to promote bear hunting.
Sure.
And I think about, well, is this the best thing? And obviously, I've worked through this, and I have a thought on it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But. What do you guys see in the broader outdoor media, like, because I don't know, what do we need to be doing?
Yeah, well, for those types of examples, right? You know, we need to tell our story. We need to tell the benefits of why we hunt with hounds. You know, we hunt with hounds because, well, it's fair chase. We can make ethical decisions on whether to shoot or not to shoot that right. bear or that cat or whatever gets treed. We need to tell that story, and we need to do it, you know, in the positive light that needs to be told. That way the general public, you know, can see those types of things and they can have a better understanding about it.
Yeah.
Because if we're not telling our story, well, the other side is going to tell
their
story.
They're going to tell it for us.
And how they want that narrative to be written.
Yeah.
So we have to control our messaging. And, and you guys do a fantastic job of that. So we need to keep raising that bar. We need to raise our expectations. And we need to talk about all the positive attributes of why we hunt and how we hunt and why we do what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about squeezing the trigger. I mean, that's a fraction of a thousandth of a second of the time that we spend preparing and planning and doing all the things that are involved with hunting.
Yeah.
We've got the food aspect, which is just, how do you not talk about the food aspect of why we do what we do? I mean, there's so many different positive attitude or avenues to kind of go down with that. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to continue doing. And the industry's been doing a good job, you know, over the last several years of kind of raising that bar.
Yeah.
We have to keep doing that. We have to keep challenging ourselves to get better with those types of things.
Yeah.
And to tell those stories.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've, I mean, that's the same thing that I've come to on a personal level. And it might sound funny that I would think about that considering what I do, but you know, if we don't tell the story, somebody else is.
Yeah.
And even inside of, like, I feel like what we do at Barony Magazine, we're showing the fringe hunting. I mean, we're showing hunting over bait.
Yeah.
We're showing hunting with hounds. And I would rather that story come from an organization like ours than to come from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And not that somebody else couldn't tell that same story. That's not what I'm saying. But just like we're interpreting this for people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we hunt over bait. But it's not as easy as you think.
No.
It's harder. It's a challenge. It's a selection tool. We can be very selective in how we hunt. It's, you know, we're just telling the story.
Yeah.
And absolutely. And that has value.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. 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 But let's see. Where else are we going to go? Anything you guys can think of that you'd like to say to our audience?
Yeah, I mean, for folks that want more information on kind of the who we are and what we do, you know, the website is sportsmansalliance.org. You know,
okay.
They can jump there. The front page of our website, you know, always has, you know, the current issues that we're kind of working on,
okay.
What things are going on out there. You know, we try to stay, you know, meat and potatoes. You know, we give you the issues. We try to give you the information so that folks can see what's going on out there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from the membership side of things, from the engagement side of things, you know, we were talking about hunting license numbers earlier, and you know, latest data was around 11.5 million licensed buying hunters in 2016. You know, if we just had 1% of those folks becoming members, that's a game changer for our organization, right? Just 1%. If 1% of hunters became members of the Sportsman's Alliance. And that's such a small number, right?
Yeah.
1%
is seems like you could recruit 1%.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a challenge.
That's it. It is a challenge, but
we'll
get there, right? And it's from having these conversations. It's from partnering with you guys and helping spread the word on who we are and what we do. Because, you know, as we talked about earlier, we've been around for over 40 years now.
Okay.
But we've been a kind of a smaller behind the scenes organization. You know, we focus strictly on the issues. We don't have giant marketing budgets to grow the organization. We do everything, you know, from the grassroots level.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. You know, that's our culture. We put our funding towards the mission because we care about winning these issues.
Right.
So yeah, we'll get there. And it's doing things like this that help us get that 1% of people.
Yeah. Man, you guys are on the front lines, and we all talk about conservation and talk about, I mean, I do, fighting for our rights for hunting, but you guys are the ones that are actually doing it. I mean, you're on the front lines. That's the way I view you. I mean, what I want to do is just give some, or continue to talk about, in every all the media that we're doing is concrete ways that people can go from just talking about preserving hunting to action steps to doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be this leap. And I think that first step is joining Sportsman's Alliance.
Yeah.
And joining other – and there's plenty of other good organizations that are doing specific stuff.
Yep.
And we just got to graft that into our brain that these are things that we prioritize every year and that we do.
Yep. It's automatic.
Automatic. Automatic renewal.
That's we've got it.
You
so,
got it.
So when they
check
sign,
box.
That's it. So when they sign up and join, just check that box, renew automatically. I mean, that also helps us put more money towards the mission, right? Because we don't have those administrative costs of printing out your renewal letter and sending that out, too. So even those little things, that all adds up.
It does. It does. Evan, any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I think you've encapsulated it pretty well. I think, you know, if you're looking to try to convince the bear hunter in Arkansas who isn't under threat of referendum or a ballot initiative why he should care, maybe even the deer hunter in Alabama, right? I mean, whoever the audience is, these things spread. They spread like wildfire. They spread quickly. You know, we saw how it spread from, you know, talking about how we got to Maine and Michigan in 2014. Well, it started with California. But California, the losing bear hunting with hounds didn't start in California. That started in Idaho, right? They had a wildlife commissioner who went up to Idaho and took a mountain lion using dogs and posted pictures of it. And that led the legislature to get all fired up about this guy. And the long, the short version of the story is that they wanted the wildlife commissioner to resign, and he wouldn't do it.
Because he'd taken the legal mountain lion in another state.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. But that wasn't that didn't fit their values or cultures in California, supposedly. And so from there, the legislature set their sights on bear hunting with dogs. And that went down. And then 2 years later, we're in Maine and Michigan with ballot issues. So, you know, these things can spread quickly. We've got to police ourselves, like you said. We've got to support the good organizations in this country. Yeah. Like you mentioned in Maine and Michigan, those two organizations are fantastic. And there's dozens of other ones, too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just bear hunting organizations that helped in those states.
Yeah, right.
Trappers did.
Yeah.
Just hound hunters.
Yeah,
you know, cat hunters, other sportsmen's organs, bow hunters.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things spread quickly. They can get out of control quickly.
Yeah.
And it's a resource war that we're never going to win. You're looking at the top five animal rights groups have $830 million on the books sitting around. $830 million. That's just the top five. You take the top
that
five.
That they told the government about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things that, you know, you've got to be involved. You've got to be an activist. Nobody else is going to do this for you. Nobody else is going to protect our way of life.
You know, we have this mentality that probably in our lifetime it'll be okay. I did an interview with a guy named Joe Hudson, a houndsman up in the UP in Michigan, and he said something really good. Is he said, you know, bear hunting in my and he's like almost 70. Joe is, and he said, bear hunting will probably not be taken away in my lifetime, but I've got to see beyond that. And he was just casting this whole idea that we've got to see the bigger picture. Because the truth is, maybe for some people, I mean, the threat isn't like for 2020. Well, in some places it is for 2020 and 2019. But, I mean, man, the threat is for 25 years from now, we're like Europe. And we can hunt pen-raised game birds with our dogs, and that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so, and it's such a trap as a human to be encapsulated in the moment. I mean, you know, it's such a trap because pretty soon it's going to be 25 years from now.
Well, it doesn't take that long. I mean, it doesn't take generations to lose these things. You can lose them pretty quickly.
Exactly,
and so,
exactly.
And the pace of change can accelerate very, very quickly. So at the moment that these things start dropping, we start losing those fringe elements. You're just whittling away at the edges,
and then
right?
just I mean, something else is fringe.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the next thing is fringe. Bow hunting is fringe. Or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the excuse me. That's the important thing to recognize here, that it's not about bear hunting with bait. It's not about bear hunting with hounds. It's not about bear hunting at all. It's about hunting. It's about the idea that these guys, these groups, these organizations, these activists, they don't approve of it at all. So they're going to tell you, yeah, we're only here to ban bear hunting with hounds because it's the most cruel and inhumane. It's the most egregious way you could possibly ever think to take an animal. Once they get that, it's, well, you know, it's all bear hunting or it's all rifle hunting. You can't shoot them with a bow because that's inhumane. But you also can't shoot them at 500 yards with a gun because that's inhumane.
Yeah,
you can't put them in a tree at 30 yards away because that's inhumane. You can't let little kids hunt because that's cruel. I mean,
it just never stops.
You'll never find the bottom of that barrel.
Yeah.
There's always one more step. And that's, we have to look at it. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. That's got to be our mentality.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm a traditional archer and guys using crossbows shouldn't archery hunt. Who cares? Just get out there.
Yep.
Any legal method. Just get out there and hunt.
Yep.
An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
Yep, that's right. Hey, I can't thank you guys enough for meeting with me today.
Well, we
appreciate
to
meet
it.
With you guys. And I've got some ideas that we'll talk about that I think maybe we could get you guys involved a little bit more with what we're doing. Anyway, great to meet you guys. And I just want to encourage everybody to join the Sportsman's Alliance. Just do it. Do it. Know that your money's being used in very good ways. And,
Thank you, Clay. We appreciate it. Can't wait to see what we can come up with next here.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, thanks for listening to the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. Check out our, we're the only print bear hunting magazine in the world. Only one. So we're a big fish in a little bitty pond. So check out our print magazine. Check out our YouTube channel. We just released yesterday, brown bear hunting video from the Alaskan Peninsula, which that's an interesting conservation piece. But it was a really neat video. Check it out on YouTube. And hey, guys, keep the wild places wild because that's where the bears live.